Welcome to the chef's table for conversations with my guests about food, friends, and family. What food memory stands out as your first one?
As my first one is very similar to the story I just shared about my daughter. Apparently, I climbed up in my mom's lap one day and she was eating a sandwich and I asked for a bite and she gave it to me. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. What is it? And she said, it's tuna fish. And I got back down off of her lap and I said, I don't like tuna fish. And she was like, well, you just ate a bite of it, told me you liked it. And I said, no, I don't like it. So I guess it's about the tuna for me and the garlic for her. Like somehow we decided based on name that we didn't like it and it wasn't based on the flavor
at all.
It's a
very kid thing to do. I have two who do the exact same thing.
Right. But I also have a very distinct garlic memory where I went on a special date with this really fine restaurant, you know, one that we had to get reservations for and wait for. And the appetizer that we had was a garlic baked brie that was spread on like crostini. And it was fabulous. And I loved it. And I don't remember very much about what else we ate at the meal. But the next day, garlic was like emanating from my pores. And my coworkers could smell it on me. And it was very embarrassing. And they were like, what is that smell? And it was like, not only did I still have the garlic flavor like in my mouth that I couldn't get rid of with mouthwash or toothpaste, but it was literally coming out of my pores. I have no idea what it was about the way that it was prepared in that particular dish or what garlic it was, but it made me think about how people give garlic pills to kids to keep mosquitoes and fleas from biting them. And it made me think like, oh, there's something to that maybe because I could smell the garlic.
And I think because of the high fat of the brie, I think the garlic and the fat content makes that more available to the body in the blood like that. It's a pure guess. I'm not a doctor. But I have no idea, but that's my guess. Because I used to eat.
Well, they say that that's true about the vitamins and greens, right? That if you eat a salad dressing that has some oil in it, that those fats actually make the nutrients in the greens more accessible to your body. I've heard that.
I think I'm right because I used to eat a lot of garlic in extra virgin olive oil and pepper flakes with pasta. And I had the same experience. People were like, what is that? And so I think that there's a relationship between the cooked garlic in the oil, whatever the oil is, cream, butterfat, olive oil, and going into and then out of your system. But pure speculation.
Good theory.
Thank you. What's the best holiday and what makes it the best?
Mother's Day. It's always close to my birthday. And I don't work in the florist industry anymore. And that's why it's the best. I worked in the florist industry for a really, really long time. Yeah. And there used to be a saying that not everybody had a sweetheart, referring to Valentine's Day and the volume, right? So not everybody has a sweetheart, but everybody's got a mama. And some people have two or three. Because, you know, you might have your mom, your stepmom, your mom-in-law, the woman you think of as your mom or what have you. And, you know, early in my career, I pulled some serious all-nighters around Mother's Day. So I have a friend that's a florist. I just spent some time with her this past weekend. We went out to the lava beds and explored around. And she said something about being glad to do that so she could have, like, this outdoor, like, nature space before her big week. And I was like, what do you have going on? And she was like, Mother's Day? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so removed from it that I didn't even like connect that you like were getting ready to deal with that. So that's what I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't miss being in the supermarket, grocery store, bakery around Thanksgiving time. Same problem. So you mentioned cooking for Morgan Freeman, but would you make Would you cook or bake or do both?
I'd probably cook. I'm not as great at baking. Thankfully, my daughter can cover that. I'd very likely make him a quiche just because I've had so much practice with those lately. We have chickens and sometimes we have an abundance of eggs. So I've gotten pretty good at my quiche game. And I've even learned how to make good quiche with frozen eggs. I was very disappointed with the first few tries. But when I thaw out the frozen eggs, I run them through the blender first. And because what happened with the frozen eggs, when you thaw them out, you just couldn't whisk them into blending as a scrambled egg very well. The yolk would always be a little bit chunky, right? And so I put it in the blender and it gets a really great consistency to it. When you bake it, it's a little scary because it puffs up really high above the pie pan. But then when you take it out, the air goes back out of it. And the consistency of it is really nice and smooth. And so I can make a good quiche out of frozen eggs. That has been something that took a little bit of practice and experimenting. Cool.
And then you can say you quiched Morgan Freeman.
Oh, wow. Now I've got to write him and invite him.
All right. So related to that, maybe you told me, what is your favorite recipe?
You know, I made my favorite recipe last night. It was a potato soup with bacon and cheese and different vegetables that I have. It's a recipe that changes slightly every time I make it based on what I have. My mom used to make it a lot when I was little. It's one of my favorite comfort foods. I have a potluck I have to go to tonight. And I said, I thought I'd make a soup. And my daughter said, are you going to make the cheese potato soup? And I said, yeah, I am. And she's like, oh, great. That's my favorite. So it's just a nice comfort food that, you know, you can amend a little bit based on what you have.
My wife's grandmother used to make potato soup. And so I'm pretty sure I don't do it exactly as Granny did it, according to memory. But when she's tired or sick, that is the dish to make for feeling better because it's like a big warm hug.
Yep, exactly.
Whose mentorship do you value the most?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to go with my sixth grade science teacher, Mr. Robert Mazaitis, who is passed on now, who had the most crazy way of teaching that I've like incorporated. You know, sixth grade is a long time ago for me. That's like more than 40 years. And his name just pops right to the top of my head. So he taught earth science. So we covered weather and geology and a bunch of stuff like that. And one of the things that he made us do was he had a big weather map in the front of the classroom and we had to take turns. So you knew when it was your turn. And you had to watch the news the night before so that you could be the weather person that day in class and like make the weather predictions, you know. And we, you know, I lived in Tidewater area of Virginia then. So we also tracked all the hurricanes that were on the Eastern Seaboard that summer. And we all had hurricane trapping maps that we took and did all that with. We learned about insulation by building houses out of cardboard and caulking them and then blowing fans through them to see where the air was going out. So he was very hands-on and just really creative in the way that he taught. And he would be telling us about a particular topic and then he'd just stop in the middle of it and he'd say, wait, candy question. And then he'd ask something that was related, but that required you to put the things together, right? So like a deeper level of what he was talking about. And if you answered it correctly, he would grab a handful of candy out of a bucket and throw it in your general direction. So you and all your friends.
So this is.
You and all your friends could have some candy.
Actually teaching and teaching you how to think beyond the page and develop critical thinking skills, which they don't do now.
He also taught me how to be a teacher.
Nice.
It was his teaching style that I think of when I, you know, I don't throw candy at people very often, but I do use similar types of incentives or breaking up or thinking about the hands-on things that I can incorporate in it that, you know, kind of help different styles of learners, right?
Very nice. Well, that's a nice memory. And I'm somewhere he just got a little bell went off for him. That was a nice thing. This is kind of an economics question. Do you prefer instant gratification or delayed gratification?
Delayed. My father used to say that our generation was the microwave generation and we expected all of our results in 3 minutes or less.
No, your father never had an iPad.
Well, no, he passed in 2000, so probably not. He didn't get to see those. But I like the process of working towards long goals and the milestones and seeing the payoff from that. I can do delayed gratification any day.
All right, last question. What's your favorite book?
It's actually a series by Ken Follett. Are you familiar with Ken Follett? So my favorite of his are Pillars of the Earth and World Without End. There's a third one in that trilogy that's okay-ish, but the first two of those are definitely like my favorites. Awesome. For probably 25 years, my favorite book was The Prince of Tides. And then when I read those Ken Follett books, those became my favorite probably about 10 or 15 years ago. I loved The Prince of Tides because it was such a horrible story, but the author's choice of words tricked the reader into thinking it was a pretty story. I found that so masterful in the authorship. You know, like you made me think this was a pretty story with all of the waxing about the, you know, South Carolina and how much the main character loved the place, but it was a terrible story. I just thought that was so cool the way that they use language to shape the reader's experience.
Yeah, there's a probably more than a handful, but it relative to the vast number of authors, it seems a select few are really absolute masters of the craft of writing, and when you find them, it sounds grandiose to say, but it can be a life-changing event. Maybe sure. Not
yep.
Perceptible to anyone else looking at you, but there's a shift. Something moves in you when you find a writer who really it's not just mental pleasure, which is fine. That's good. But there's something, it reaches deep inside and flips a switch. And that's when that happens. That's fantastic. It's rare.
It is rare. And I think in fiction, the thing that speaks to me most is excellent character development. Whether I like the character or not is inconsequential to how deeply I feel like I know them at the end of the book, right? We've had that where you feel like you almost miss the people at the end because you knew them so well. That's something that I particularly appreciate. And I do write poetry, so I think a lot about word choice. Because in poetry, you know, it's like high dollar real estate. You got to say it succinctly and in those few words in a powerful way or it loses the plot, you know? So, yeah, I really like the character development. And you're right. A good book can really change the way you see things.
And Conroy is certainly no slouch with wordsmithery. I think John Irving and we can name a bunch. And to me, Hemingway and Fitzgerald fit in that category. And everyone's going to say, oh, you forgot her. Yes, I forgot a lot. I don't have time for all that, but that's not the point. The point is to get them all. The point is to recognize for you who does that, because it may not be the same for everybody, but it's fun when it happens, and it's a good thing to recognize. So good observation. All right, I have exceeded our 90 minutes by some no short margin, but – Thank you for your patience. I appreciate that. And I am going to find the window here. So I'm going to end the recording, and I will email you the link. So email you the link to the show notes page, which will have, I'm going to see. Do you have a preference of what it is you send out? Do you want to send a link to my blog page, or do you want to send a link to the Apple, maybe that's better, the Apple Podcast recording, so they just go to their player. I figure most people have Apple Podcasts. Maybe that's better.
Yep. I'm trying
to think about how your employer is going to find to think about this, and maybe just without the intermediary of my blog, maybe they'd prefer just go to the episode itself.
Either way, or you can stick both of them in there.
And it's going to say go to culinarylibertarian.com/whatever. So if people want the show notes page for more information, then they can do the work of surfing it over. So maybe I don't want to get you in hot water. And there's no way to predict who's going to decide what's hot water worthy these days. So
right. Or, maybe something I did 15 years ago is suddenly way wrong. I mean, that's the world we live in.
You made a tweet 15 years ago that now we find offensive. Karen is upset with you.
It can happen.
Oh, my gosh. So much can happen. All right. So stopping recording. Thanks again for your time. I hope I haven't intruded too much on the rest of your day. I may be down at some point just to see what's new at the extension office, because I'm always looking to learn something.
Sounds good. Yeah. And, I know you got to have a big variety of people, but I'd be happy to do it again sometime.
I may take you up on that, because there's more to talk about. Right.
Always. All right. It's great to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye, Nicole.
Bye-bye.